Good morning, and welcome to Taromis Part 2. They didn't scare you off with Taromis Part 1. First, we talked about basic Taromis. We went through the three central cases in which Taromis is triggered. The case in which either employees or the boss backs out before work begins. The case in which you rent a donkey and it turns out to be weak and not for onus reasons, but the donkey dies partway through the trip. And then third, you rent the boat and leave it halfway without causing a financial hit for the owner of the boat. Your stuff's going to be replaced by somebody else. However, we understood that case. Different, we showed him on what exactly had happened. But in all those cases, we said there was such a thing as taromis. And the way we summed things up at the end was that taromis occurs when you back out of a verbal commitment. And there's no financial cost, it seems. We had some questions about that, the ropes on the boat and the like, but it seems like there's no financial cost such that money would be recouped. There's a loss of physical effort. There's a loss of time, the employer needing to find new employees. Or there is emotional / psychological strain in the sense that there's delay. You thought you were going to get there faster, and now you're not going to get there as fast. Or there's a new renter on the boat, and maybe you're not going to get along. And that was basically where we left things at the end last time. So what I want to do this time, as I said in the email, is to talk about first the relationship between taromis on the one hand and mechusar amana on the other hand, and that will go with einu hachamim nochayim menu, to talk about what triggers the Mechusar Amana label, and from there we'll move into, so what does taromis actually look like, and I hope we'll get through all of this today, but it is possible that we will end up leading into next week. We'll see. So let's talk Mechusar Amana. So if you take a look on your sheet, it's source Aleph. I gave you a breakdown of Bavmitziyah Mem Tesamet Aleph, which introduces us to the concept of Mechusar Amana. The best translation for Mechusar Amana that I have is not a true translation. It's not literal. If you did this for the Torah and Translation column in Toronto Torah, I would yell at you. But nonetheless, it's in bad faith. Is essentially what Mechusar Amana means. Take a look at source Aleph. Rav Kahana Yavi Le Zuzei Akisna. Rav Kahana had flax to sell, and somebody gave him money for it. Lesof Aiker Kisna. But then the flax went up in value. Asla Kamei Dirab. By the way, the way I phrased it was not necessarily what happened. Meaning it could be one of those situations where you're paid in the beginning of the season. We did Ribbis a couple of years ago, right? You get paid in the beginning of the season, and then you know, you grow it, and then you have it to sell. So nothing was acquired at the time that the money changed hands. That's for sure. So the guy gave him kind of money. The flax went up in value. Asla kamei d'Rav. Omar le b'may dinakiza zuze, dinakiza zuze havlu. So Rav Kahana comes to Rav and says, what do I do? You know, I can make more money. And Rav says to him, no problem. He says, you took money, so now give the money back. V'idach, and then what's left? Devarim ninu, it's just words. Devarim ein v'hen mishum chusarei amana. There's no issue of in bad faith if it's just a verbal agreement. Yes. What's that, Jerry? You're finding it funny, yeah, no?
Not funny.
Okay, yes.
The way to translate that giving the money back, or whatever amount he gave you money for.
Oh, give him the equivalent of, yeah, you're right. I was reading too fast. You are correct. You have to give him flax for the amount of money that he gave you, and then and everything else is verbal. That's the read, correct. The Itmar, because we've learned, Devarim, if it's a verbal agreement, Rav Amar Ein Bahem Mishum Mechusarei Amana, Rav says there's no issue of Mechusarei Amana, so you can back out of a verbal agreement. Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Bahem Mishum Mechusarei Amana, and Rav Yochanan says that's called Mechusarei Amana. Now, mind you, he hasn't said you can't back out.
Right.
it could be you can back out, and it's called Mechusa Ramana. But Rav giving you this advice, right, is saying to you, this is a this is not even a Mechusa Ramana issue. If it were, presumably Rav would not give that kind of advice. The Gemara then brings two challenges to Rav. Mesve, the first challenge. Rabbi Yossi of Yehuda says, Matam alomar hin et tzedek. The Torah tells us that you have to have honest weights and measures. Epa tzedek, hin tzedek yelachem. So they ask why you needed to mention various kinds of measures. Right? We have mosne tzedek, honest scales. Epa tzedek, and epa is a volume measure. And hin tzedek is also a volume measure. So why do I need to mention the epa and the hin? So, valo hin bechlal epa. Hin is already included in the Eifa. Ela lomar lach shehin shalcha tzedek v'lav shalcha tzedek. So the drash on it is, it's not hin, the volume measure, it's hain. Yes, when you say hain, it's got to be honest. When you say lav, no, it's got to be honest. Hain meaning yes, lav meaning no. So the challenge for Rav is, I have a pasuk in the Torah with a drasha on it, which is telling me that your word has to be kept. We're going to come back to analyze that drasha more later on, but right now that's what it sounds like. So you can come back out of a verbal agreement. Amar Abaye hahush lo yedaber echad bepeh ve'echad belev. Abaye says no. All it's saying is that you have to mean what you say. So when you make the kinyan debarim, when you say, I intend to do this, you have to be sincere. However, you may back out later because it was only a verbal agreement, and that's not violation of Hein Tzedek. Again, we're going to come back to this later, but that's the way Abaye explains it. Your obligation is to be sincere, and then later on you can say, yeah, but I changed my mind. That's our resolution for Rav. Meisvei, another challenge for Rav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Avu Bishamru Talis Kone Diner Zahav, Ve'ein Diner Zahav Kone Talis, Mikomakom Kach Halacha. Avalamu Misha Parme Anshidor Mabel, Anshidor Aflaga, Hu Asili Parme Misha Naome Bidiburo. The Misha Para discussion. Rabbi Shimon says, even though we say that in the event that you are buying a piece of clothing for a gold dinar, if you transfer the commodity that's being purchased, then the money is acquired by the other party. Whereas if you give the money, you don't acquire the commodity, right? This is another version of what we've said before, that mos ein on konos. Money does not acquire. If I walk into a store, the old-fashioned kind of a store where they have the stuff behind the counter, or frankly, newfangled kind of store where they don't trust anybody who walks in and therefore they keep the stuff behind the counter, fine. But if I put money down on the counter for an item, I have not yet acquired the item I'm trying to purchase. Only when I pick up the commodity itself do I acquire it. However, nonetheless, if somebody backs out once the money has been paid, even though the commodity is not purchased, we are going to give him such a curse. Hashem is going to punish somebody who doesn't stand by his word. And the Gemara has a nice discussion afterwards, which I skipped because it's not relevant for us. But the Gemara then goes back and challenges Rabbi Yochanan. You're telling me Rabbi Yochanan says that you're required to stick to your word, and it's mechusar amana if you don't. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Va'amar Rabbi Barachana amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have Rabbi Yochanan dead to rights. Ha'omer lachaveru matana ani nosi lach yachol achzer bo. If somebody says I'm going to give you a gift, he's able to back out. So the Gemara says yachol pshita. Why would you have thought otherwise? Of course you can back out. No. Ela mutter lachzer bo. There's nothing wrong with backing out. Not only can you back out, but it's an okay thing to do. Why? You told me that your word is binding. So amar of papa, not binding, that's the wrong term, but it's mechusar amana to break your word. So amar of papa umode Rabbi Yochanan b'matana mu'etes disamcha datayu. So papa's answer is, there are two different kinds of gifts. If you're talking about a small gift, matana mu'etes, then people take you at your word. If you say to somebody, wow, I had a great time, I don't want to make it transactional, so that's actually a wrong way to do it. You walk up to somebody and you say, you know, I was just at the game, and they gave out these free foam wear number one fingers, right? And I know you have a kid who would love that, so I'm going to give you my number one finger from the game. This is Matana Muetes, right? It's of small value, and therefore he takes you at your word that you're going to do it, and therefore you are then obligated to follow through. That's where it's Mechusar Amana if you back out. As opposed to Matana Maruba, if it's a large gift, you walk in and you say, wow, I'm in a great mood today. $1 million for everybody. So nobody takes you seriously. Nobody thinks you're actually gonna follow through. And it's not Mechusar Amana for you to walk away from that agreement. So to speak, agreement. Hachanami Mistabra. He says that makes sense. We're in the last bullet point in Aleph. Yeah.
How do we differentiate? Like, what line are we
going to
draw?
Right. The line seems to be what people take seriously versus what they do not take seriously. And that's not only here. Meaning, I had a piece for this, which I cut out because there's just no time, on what the status is of a memorandum of understanding between parties. Where it's not, nothing's changed hands, no contract has been made, but you've written up a document that actually says, we've agreed to this, 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 and this. And it seems to be based on local practice, and at what point do people consider something to show, yes, we're really serious in going through with it. So it really seems to be a very flexible type of a thing, and Meruba Muetes are really beside the point.
There's something called an agreement to agree.
Really? I only know about agreements to disagree.
No, the companies call them agreement to agree.
It's not worth it.
Okay.
Well,
yes.
It depends.
Is this similar to or based same kind of concept as in Kedushin? Is this Meshata Anibach?
So the Meshata Anibach discussion is actually a little bit different. But it's the same in the sense that we are going to try to mind read.
Yeah.
You know, what people were expecting. It wasn't reasonable to. Yeah.
And right. It should have been obvious, but okay.
Right. So, Hachinami Mistabra, this makes sense. Damar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo says, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Sha'amar Leben Levi, Kur Meiser Yesh Lecha V'yadi. If a Yisrael says to a Levi, I have a Kur is a big volume measure, of Meiser for you. Ben Levi Rashi Lasoso Trumas Meiser Amakom Acher. That Levi has other Meiser which he wants to eat, but he needs to separate Trumas Meiser for a Kohen. He's able to say when he does his Hafrasha, he can say that stuff that he's holding for me is going to be the Trumas Meiser. But it's only supposed to be Menamukov. Don't worry about that right now. He's able to do that. So Iyamet Bishlam Alamati Mahad Lameyader Bei Mishum Hachi Rashi. Well, that only makes sense if the person who said he was going to give the Meiser is not able to back down. Right? That's why the Levi can count on getting that Meiser. Eliyemret Matzil Meyader Bey, but if you tell me he can back out, am I Rashi? Why is it okay for the Levi to use it? Ishtakach Tekachal Tevalim. He's going to end up eating Tevel because he doesn't get the stuff and therefore he didn't have any Trumas Meiser. So that shows that you're not able to back out. I want to talk about that more, the Levi case, later on. It's really important. I'm not sure we'll get to that part of it today. But keep that case in mind, possibly for the next 40 minutes or so, possibly till next week. But that's our case here. Interesting note from the Maaseh Rokeach on the Rambam and Hilchos Mechira on this business of the Matana Meruba, Matana Muetes. If you go back to Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, right towards the end of the source, right before the two bullet points, Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. It says if you say that to your chaver, then you're able to back out. So if you ask me, the word chaver here means much like it means in the rest of Shas, which is the next guy, your peer, your colleague, your associate, whatever it is. It doesn't connote an emotional relationship. Look at the Maaseh Rokeach and base. Vihine. Bishut Maram Alshich, Kufav Aleph, Digde Beloshan Rabbeinu, Shekasav Mishamar Lachavero, Demashma Chavero Davka, it's specifically your Chaver that you can walk away from. Aval Ima Mekabel Hu Ani, but if the recipient is a pauper, Kana, it works, the gift is binding. Afilu Matana Meruba Kana, Midin Tzedakah. It's tzedaka now, and therefore it is indeed binding, and even if it's a large gift. Ulafini is daiti racho kulaham is kolze. He says, I'm sorry. He says, that's a lot to ask me to believe, that the word chaver is meant to exclude tzedaka. Tzedaka may well be binding. If you read the Wayu to Go, which is now available online for Rosh Hashanah, you will see an article in it on tzedaka pledges, because they asked me to write about tzedaka. So one of the things I talk about there is the idea that a verbal commitment to give tzedakah is indeed binding, and we'll talk about it more there, but not because of this. This is just very interesting. Okay, but that's our Gemara. That's mechusar amana. You backed out of a verbal commitment. The Gemara here does not use the phrase ein ruach hachamim nocha himenu. However, the Gemara elsewhere talks about that, talks about breaking a verbal agreement, and uses that terminology. Take a look at Source Gimel. Hamachzir chov b'shvias, right? Remember that the last parak in Mishnayot Shvias deals with the issue of loans being canceled during Shemitah, or at the end of Shemitah. So the Mishnah says, in the event that you owe somebody money, and Shemitah comes, and yet you give back the money, ruach hachamim nocha himenu. Which you can translate in one of two ways, as we will see. Right now I'm just going to render it as the Chachamim are pleased with him, but we're going to come back to that and retranslate that later on. But the Mishnah says, if you have the right to say the debt is null and void, and you say, I'm going to pay it back anyway, and you offer it back, remember that the creditor has to say, it's already gone. It's gone. Shemitah came along. The debt is over. And you say to him, Afal Pichein, nonetheless, I want to give it back. The Chum like that. That's a good thing to do. And then they talk about another case. You borrow money from a ger, and his children converted as well, but there's no father-son relationship, and the ger passes away. So you don't have any obligation to give it back to the kids, because the kids are not his kids in halacha. However, if you do, that's a good thing to do. The chum like that. And then the last part, call a mitaltel and nignin b'mashicha. Movable items are only acquired if you move them. If you fulfill your word, then again, the Ruach Chachamim Nocha Imenu, the Chachamim like that. And that's the key part for us, which is why I underlined it. This is indeed a good thing for somebody to do. The Chachamim like this. The approach of the Ranach, Rabbi Eliyahu Ibn Bin Chayim, in Source Dalid, is to explain the phrase Rachamim or not Rachamim like this. Take a look at Source Dalid. He's commenting on a different passage, but it's usable here as well. B'chol makabel ein rachamim nocha hemenu ki ein perish ein ruach chochma v'chasidus b'kirbo. The phrase ruach chachamim nocha mimenu means the spirit of the chachamim wafts forth from him, emanates from him. That's the way that the Ranach explains the line. As opposed to the other way that people take the line, you know, might as well do it now. If you jump to the source you at the bottom of the page, the end of the source, the Rashmi Shans, he says, to explain Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Imenu, he says, Ein Chachamim Machzikim Lo Tova. The Chachamim don't view this as a good thing. They're not happy that the person did this. They don't see it as a good thing that the person did this. So two different ways to read either Ruach Chachamim Nocha Imenu or Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Imenu. The Rashmi Shans takes the view that it means Chachamim aren't happy with him. The Ranach takes it as the view that the spirit of Chachamim does not emanate from him. But either way, this Mishnah in Shvi'is tells us you're supposed to stick to your verbal commitment. And if you don't, Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Mimenu. And the other key passage on this is Source Hey, also a Gemara in our Masechta. Vanose v'nosein b'dvarim lokana. In the event that you engage in commerce based on your word, that's not Koneh. V'achozer bo Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Mimenu. Even though no transaction has taken place, nonetheless, if you back out, Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Mimenu. So we seem to have three different terms now. We've seen, we saw last week, taromes, right? We have a complaint of some kind because you backed out. Then we saw mechusar amana, bad faith. And now we have the Chacham don't like you, or you're not acting like a Chacham, as this third. The Rambam merges number two and number three. If you take a look at source Vav, the Rambam said the same language from Bava Metzia. Hanoseh v'nosim b'dvarim bilvad. Hareza roi lama lo b'dibura. He says if you engage in a verbal agreement for commerce, you should stand by your word. Even though no money changed hands, no merchandise was marked, you didn't give a collateral. And one who backs out, there's no mishapara because no money changed hands. So the Rambam merges the second and third elements that we mentioned. As a side note, the Maaser Rokeach asks the question. If you take a look at Zor Zayin, in the Rambam and Hilchos Deos describes how a Talmid Chacham interacts.
He's not merging, though. He's saying he's applying both.
He's applying, that's what I mean by merging.
No, merging means combine them together and they turn into a new concept.
Oh, okay, so no, I don't mean that as a legal thing. Yeah. He's created a new construct. What I mean is to say, he's saying that they're really the same thing.
Is he saying that, or is he saying someone who's no save and no save the burro and changes his mind both apply to that case?
Both apply. Right, yeah. Correct.
Not necessarily do they all apply together in every case that one of them.
Nor necessarily are they the same thing.
I would agree with you in theory, but in practice I don't see how that plays out. Because they're applied, maybe I'm biased by the fact that the Gemara applies them to the same cases.
What does it mean that?
Just in different places, but the same thing. In other words, when you say here, Hanose Venose Mitvarm Lo Kanava Chosebo Ein Rucham Noche Emenu in source Hey, how is that different from in source Aleph, where we have Devarim, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yeshva Mishum Chusari Amana? What's the difference between Devarim and Anosim and Nosim B'Devarim?
So then essentially you're saying the Rambam.
So I'm biased by the fact that the language is the same in the two sources.
So then essentially you're saying the Rambam isn't saying any Chiddush, it's just...
Well, the Chiddush that he's doing is simply saying, look, I can bring both phrases, one that appears in Memches, and one that appears in Memtes, and put them in together, even though in the Gemara no one saw fit to do so. Okay. That's my only Sorry?
What does it mean that the spirit of the Chachamim won't emanate?
Right, so if you take the view of the Rosh Mishans, it's actually substantive. Meaning, and I was going to get to it when we get to the Rosh Mishans, but I'll mention it now. When he says, Ein Chachamim Machzikim Lo Tova, what that means to him is, the Chachamim don't expect you to do this. They don't say, wow, he did that, that's a good thing. There's no recommendation from them that you take this path that you took. Your decision of, I am not going to back out, I'm going to keep my word, was your decision. The Chacham don't particularly care. The other way around. This is the case of the Ein Ruach Chachamim, right. I go back to what he said. In a case where they say, Ein Ruach Chachamim no chaymenu, what they mean, in other words, Rav. Right. When Rav says that you can back out, right, what he's saying is there's no issue of, well, the Chachamim really would want me to keep my word. As far as he's concerned, no, that's not actually a thing. That's not an issue. Whereas, if you take the view of the Ranach, it's much vaguer and just, it's a nice statement of the, if you're Ruach Chacham Nochei Menu, that means you act like Chachamim. You act like Chacham, yeah.
It's interesting that the Rambam combines the Chusar Amman and Eru Chacham Yinochem Menu, but not Taromis. But in the Gemara itself, on them tests, they seem to use Taromis and Chusar Amman.
So we're going to come back to Taromis. I haven't gotten there yet. We're going there. We are going there. The Maaser Rokeach points out that in Deos, if you take a look at source Zayin, he describes the traits of a Talmid Chacham. Right? When he says yes, it means yes. When he says no, it means no. He's very precise with himself. He doesn't take on commitments that he's not supposed to take on. And then he says, So the Maaser Rokeach asks, that's the trait of a Talmid Chacham. You told me that's everybody's obligation to be omid b'diburo. Why are you only saying it for Talmid Chacham here? So he gives you two answers. His first answer is that Deos is talking about general speech. Even though it begins masau matano and we think of masau matan as commerce, nonetheless it means all his speech, and that's why it says alav lav el hein hein. And his second answer is that the Talmid Chacham in Zion is talking about matana merubah. even if his promise was one that people would not expect him to keep. Nonetheless, he keeps it. Representative, what were you going to ask?
I think so. But you mean the question is, since you passed in Varim Shay, Yarim Yishma Mechosari Amon at Shabbat?
Yeah. Correct.
Because, according to, I guess, the other opinion.
Right, but we don't expect the other opinion.
Right.
We leave Rav sitting on the road.
The only other thought I had was that maybe he doesn't accept that interpretation of Hain. He doesn't take it that far, but I guess this is relevant to your first
yes.
answer, but specifically in the context of, you know, business.
Correct, which makes sense, because that's the context in the Torah.
Right.
Yes.
Now, doesn't it just say that he should not make himself chayav on anything? And then it just says, so he won't have to change his mind. I'm not saying that.
You're reading within Zion?
Yes.
You're into by where the Knesset Mishnah has the word Eino.
And then really, right. The Chacham has to just go beyond to distance himself from a scenario in which he might be tempted to change his mind. But everyone would technically not be allowed to change their mind anymore.
No, I think what he's talking about there, it was hard. That line is a hard read with or without the word Eino. But I think what the Knesset Mishnah was trying to say is that he doesn't create obligations for himself lest he make a mistake and break them. You know, like we say, Toba Sherlo Tidor, right? Don't take Nidarim, you won't get yourself into trouble. So he doesn't get himself into positions where he might make a mistake and then he has a problem.
Yeah, and maybe a regular non-Talmidei Chachamim can put himself in those positions. And that's...
that it's okay for them to do that?
It's less of an issue.
I mean, he's doing what traits of a Talmid Chacham are, not so much that you should extrapolate and therefore, you know, other people don't need to worry about these things. He's giving you positive behavioral models. That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah. Sure. I asked this before, but I'll ask it again.
Yeah.
They still don't mention Kechol HaYoytzeh Mipi Yadzeh. Why?
Because that's a neder pasuk.
But it's not only a neder pasuk.
Why isn't it? At the beginning of the pasuk is
neder lahashem.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't say that. Yeah, I thought you would say that. But
I mean, it sure sounds like a neder to me. Yeah. No, I think that's why.
Limited to the neder. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Huh? So. We will see other psukim that want you to keep your word. It's not Midrash Sheker Tircha. It's not Midrash Sheker Tircha. He wasn't lying. He did not lie. Yeah. So, Mechusar Amana and Ein Racham Nocha Emanu are terms involved in breaking a verbal agreement. But the sources we have seen thus far have not thrown Taromas into the mix. My tendency is to think that Taromas is a subset of Mechusar Amana, Ein Ruach Chacham Nocha Emanu. Mechusar Amana, the issue there is you didn't keep your word. And that will apply whether that leads to harm for others or it doesn't lead to harm for others. It doesn't matter. You, it's about you. It's about what you did. I hold point to myself as I say you, but you know what I mean. I don't want to point to you. The Mechusar Amana is somebody who doesn't keep his word. And that's going to become really clear in a minute when we talk about the textual basis for Mechusar Amana from the Torah. What Isser is involved. It's about your behavior. Last week, we spent an hour explaining that Taromes is about causing harm to somebody else. He has to go hire new workers. He has to, you know, deal with a new client on the boat. You're causing strain to somebody else. So not every case of Mechusar Amana is a case that is set up for Taromes. In the event that I didn't keep my word, but it doesn't cost you anything, you have no Taromes against me. You follow?
You would have Mechusar Amana.
But if I break my word, yeah. But you don't have a claim on me for Mechusar Amana. Taromes, right. You do. Mechusar Amana, it sounds like you don't. I may change that in another few minutes. Don't hold me to it. This is Devarim, but it's sheer Devarim. But that's the...
What about the Kostman? Kost.
Sorry?
The guy, the...
Be brief.
Then he costs the money.
If he costs me money, then it's even better. Then I can make him pay. Taromes was a case. In general, most Taromes, not all, but most Taromes cases that we saw were cases that stopped short of costing you money. Where we said that in the event that, let's say, he backs out halfway on the boat, and as a result there's damage to the boat when you unload and load, then we said you have to pay for it. Yeah, costing is worse. We're in the area where generally, although not universally, there was no cause. Worth noting, just for the fact that it's strange, if you take a look at Source Ches, what the Knesset Gedolah quotes from the Rikanti, or the Rekanati for the purists, in Source Ches, Harezem im Chusarei Amana. Nichta betido, pashtun shel dvarim shehumi mechusarei amana, aval einu mekabel mishapara. Right, the simple read is, as I said earlier, there's no mishapara involved here. Mishapara is only in the event that that money changed hands. Aval, this game maharam rikanti, shin samach dalet kasuv. V'haram, Rabbeinu Menachem, pasak alayhi dematana mu'etes, dekoy ala b'mishapara. If you promised somebody a small gift, he expected you were going to follow through, there's a mishapara. V'lo chilek b'mechusar amano mishapara. That's bizarre. I haven't seen anybody who can support this. This statement, mishapara, is really reserved for where money has changed hands.
Is it a possibility that was the language of the Rambam also putting the two together, saying that you're mechusar amana, meaning you're not so bad that you get a mishapara, but no, nevertheless, ain't all come to no name in it.
I don't understand.
The reason why you would use both terms,
yeah,
is not to say that they're the same thing, but to say that ain't all come to no name in it is simply the negative sign of mechusar amana. Mechusar amana being like, it's not really that bad, you're just mechusar amana. But
Ein Ruach HaChamim Nochei Menu is a result of Mechusar Amana, is that what
yes.
You're saying? That's an interesting idea. I'm not against it. I want to go back to the sources and see if it's borne out by the way that it's used. But it's an interesting idea.
I just want to make one point, if you don't mind. It's regarding the idea of you versus your head on others. So that's sort of dependent upon the Machlokas between Dvarim, Yishpim, Mechusar Amana, or not. Meaning, Yochanan's admitting in a case of Matan Muetas that then you have to sort of, there is a problem because people are relying on you. So the idea of reliance assumes that the problem with being dishonest is that people are relying on you or inconveniencing them. However, if you just said that you had to keep your word because you said something, so then it shouldn't really matter necessarily that they're relying on you. The point is that you said something and you keep to it.
Right.
So I'm just suggesting this idea that Taromas is about the effect on others, and Mechusar Amana is only...
Right, that's what I said. Yeah. That was what I was trying to say. Yes.
Right, but I'm suggesting that maybe even Mechusar Amana might have to do with your effect on others, and that's why reliance...
Why would you say it's about the effect on others?
Because that's why Smichus Das is so important.
But Smichus Das is important because it establishes that backing out is Mechusar Amana. In other words, if in a given context your words are meaningless to those who hear them, then what is it that obligates you?
Because you said them.
Why is it Mechusar Amana to back out?
Because you said them.
Even the definition of the word amana. The word amana itself is the trust that is between the two parties.
Well, hindsight.
Not hindsight. Mechusar Amana.
Right, but I'm saying if the source for Mechusar Amana is.
That's where we have to go, because it's not at all clear, and most just seem to think it's.
Okay,
not.
But I guess.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Hindsight is not Mechusar Amana. I will say that definitively, and now back it up.
Okay.
Yeah. So what exactly is the Isser that triggers the Mechusar Amana label? So here I want to give credit to a great article in Source Test. Rabbi Yossi Fleischman has a three-parter, of which I've read two parts. I couldn't find one of the parts online. The publication that it appears in apparently is Alon HaMishpat, although I only found it in... I found one of the Chalakim in a thing called Alon HaMishpat, the other one I just found. And I gave you the link as a bit.ly only because it's one of those links that has Hebrew letters in it, and if you try to cut and paste it, then you get all of the different codes that lead to the Hebrew letters instead of the Hebrew letters, and it would have been a five-line link as a result. So use this instead. But I recommend reading it. It's a nice read. I benefited from what he wrote in terms of this question of what the Isser exactly is.
Who is he?
He's a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So the first view that we'll bring here is that there actually is no Isser at all. And that's the position, oddly, of the Rosh Mishnas on that mission in Shvius. If you take a look at Source Yud, V'chol Mekayim Mitzvah Ruach HaChem Nochei Menu, Hasha'enu mekayim es devaro, ein racham noch emenu. Right, that's the flip side. If you fulfill it, then racham noch emenu. If you don't fulfill it, ein racham noch emenu. The lav mishum di ike iser, but not that there is a prohibition. Damrinu perak hazav devarim ein bahen mishum mechusar yamana. After all, you read the Gemara in Bava Metzia. It says that there is no issue of mechusar yamana for speech. The leka iser, there is no iser. Ela ein chacham emachzikim lo tova shlo hazichu lekach. The Chacham did not require that you actually fulfill your word, and therefore, Ein Ruach Chacham Em Nochei Emenu. This is extremely problematic. Right? Why is this problematic?
Meaning, what if we hold Yesu Mishum Chassarim?
He's following Rav. Nobody follows Rav. What are you talking about? The whole thing is very difficult. The Ranach, in his Tshuva, in Kuf Yud Ches, of which I bring you a part in Source Yud Aleph, not for the, where, it's not on this, but the piece I bring you is what's coming next. But he says that's extremely problematic. To say that there's no Isser, and to say that, that we're following Rav, I don't understand. So he suggests that the Rosh is actually just trying to reconcile the Mishnah with Rav. Lest you ask, how can Rav say, Devarim havna mechusar amana, I have a Mishnah in Shvius, rather than answer, Rav tana upalig, right? The Rav is a tana, and therefore he can say what he wants. The answer is that you can make the Mishnah work with Rav. He's trying to reconcile it. Okay, fine. The next view up is that it is a dirabanan. The language of Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Hemenu suggests it's not really a full-blown Isser, but it's more than Midas Chasidus. However, the Ranach does not like that idea. He says, it really sounds like it should have an Isser. After all, take a look at Yud Aleph. You'll like this. He says, whether there is an Isser or not, it seems fairly clear that within the view that actually asks this this question in the Gemara about Hain Tzedek, right? Hain Tzedek and Hain Tzedek, that view seems to think there's a real Isser. Right, that was Svirulei, that he, the Hinsedek, Myri, Kigavna de Plug to the Rabbi of Yochanan. It should be Begavna, probably, it's probably a typo in the Barilan. It sounds like they think that there is an Isser, they're just trying to figure out what the Isser is. The Ava Gav, the Havi, Osir, she, Isser, she, Ishla, Smach, Min, HaTorah, Ksani, Lava, Mastisin, Ein, Ruach, Hacham, Nocha, Amen, who granted that there is an Isser with a basis in the Torah. Nonetheless, we use the language of Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Emenu. The Shapir Mishtama Milashon Ein Ruach Nocha Emenu. The Isura is Bay. This actually, he says, no. He says it sounds like from the language of Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocha Emenu, it sounds like there is an Isur. That's his read of it. Even though others look at the same words and say it sounds like there is no Isur. He says that language indicates there is an Isur. The Chain Amrin and Sham, the Amr of Yochanan, Ha'omer Lachavero, Matana, Yenotelach, Mutter Lach Zorbo, Umokilab Matana Marubo, Rabbi Yochanan says, if you say, I'm going to give you a gift, you're allowed to back out. Right? And that's specifically, if it's a large gift, the implication is, Mashama Dibamuetes, Osir Lach Zorbo. So if it's a small gift, you're not allowed to back out. In other words, he thinks this is more than just Midas Chasidus, but actually there is an Isser involved. If it's an Isser Dirabanan, what is the Isser Dirabanan? So the Nimuka Yosef offers you the following in Source Yud Beis. He's talking about Misha Para in context. And the Gemara there says, or his comment on the Gemara is, Ba'osei Ma'asei Amcha. What they're talking about there is the fact that the Torah says, V'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or. You're not allowed to curse a nasi. And we understand from there, you're not allowed to curse anybody who is be'amcha in your nation, meaning osei ma'asei amcha. Somebody who does the acts that are associated with your nation. V'hai lo osei ma'asei amcha. This person who backs out is not consistent with the activities of your nation. Dichsiv, she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avlav lo yidabru chazav. The remnant of Israel, says Tzefanya, will not act in a corrupt way and will not speak in a way that is false. So that is the Nimuka Yosef's idea of what your basis is for this. And in fact, Rashi brought it on the case that we saw with the Levi, where he said the Levi is able to separate Trumas Meiser from the Meiser that's been promised to him. So Rashi there says, in Yud Gimel, Mishum Hachi Rashi, that's why you're allowed to be Mafrish, Sheyesh Lo Lismoch HaMashar Kasuv, Sheyes Yisrael, Yasu Avlo, V'leidabu Chazav, V'leidnenu Levi Acher. He can rely, the Levi can rely on the fact that, we say, Jews, generally speaking, keep to their word. That's what's supposed to happen. When you read that, you always have to remember the Gemara that says, Rove Ganvi Yisrael Ninhu, right? How do you square that circle? That's actually the Avodah Zarah Shir, the Shabbos. If you're there, we're going to talk about that. No, Rove Ganvi. Rove Ganvi Yisrael Ninhu. Yeah, yeah. That's something for a discussion for another time, but you'll hear it on Shabbos maybe. But that's the question: is what derabbanon could this be? Shemis Yisrael lo yasu avla, as well as eino ose maase amcha. He's not acting in the way that a Jew acts. And then the last view is, hey, this is a deoraisa. And that would be the hein tzedek idea, which we saw in the Gemara and which the Ravid likes. Take a look at Source Yadalid. Tirat HaRaivet Zal, the Hachi Kamos Vinan. This is the way the Raivet reads our Gemara. Bishlam al Rabbi Yochanan Ika Lememer Dafil Basay Nami Koi Karabiosi. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you could say that somebody who doesn't keep his word is actually violating an assay. The assay of Hain Tzedek, which Rabbi Yossi said. Aval Rav Vade Kasha Dafilu Assay Nami Isba. But what's Rav going to do? Rav, who says you're allowed to break your word, you have a mitzvah assay. Uparka Abaye, and then Abaye gave the answer, that everybody says there's no asay, that Rabbi Yossi shloi davarachas mepeveachat balef, right? Rabbi Yossi, that was Abaye's retranslation. But the way the Ravid brings this, and it's also brought in the Rashba, on our Gemara, in Mentes, as well as the Rosh, in Bav Metzia Dalad Yud Beis, is that Hein Tzedek would be your source. However, this depends on how we understand Hein Tzedek. That's really the question, and this is what I was waiting to say for you, Rav Sammy, to answer you from before. There are two ways you can look at it, and this is really Abaye's point in the Gemara. One way you can look at it is, you have to take steps to fulfill your words and make them true. It isn't enough that when you said it, you were sincere. Having said it, you now need to make sure that it actually comes to fruition. The other way to take it is to say, when you speak, you have to be sincere. At the time that you say the words, you have to mean them. And you can support the first view if you want, that is more expansive, that you have to actually act in a way that will make these words come true. Take a look at Source Tezvav. A classic Gemara. Amale Rav Kahana la Rav Papa. Rav Kahana says to Rav Papa, Lidi dach, according to you, da amrit priyas balchov mitzvah. According to you, there is a mitzvah of paying your debts. So amar lo necha lidei yavid mitzvah mai. What happens if somebody says, I don't want to do the mitzvah? The Gemara there talks about kofan al mitzvah saseh, forcing people to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, and the question of whether that's true in the case of debts. But look at Rashi on that Gemara in Source Tezayin, when he says, Rapapa, you think that there's a mitzvah of paying your creditor? So mitzvah olav lifroa chovo la meis divarav, there is a mitzvah of paying your debts, and and making your words true. Your word meaning when you said, I'm going to borrow this at this time and I'm going to pay it back at that time. Rashi quotes this pasuk, and in fact it's brought that way in the Sma. If you take a look at Yud Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Hanose v'nosein b'dvarim bilvad, if you just have a verbal communication, and that's it. Hareza roilo lama b'diburo, you're supposed to keep your word, even though no money changed hands, dot, dot, dot. On that, the Sma writes in Yuches, roilo lama b'diburo, dorsh rabaseinu zala mashakasuv hin tzedek, shehein shulcha tzedek. And if you look at the Minchas Chinuch Minchas Chinuch, Rishon and Tes, Gimel, I didn't bring it on the sheet, because all he does is he mentions this Rashi. The mitzvah there is Mosnei Tzedek, so he mentions this Rashi. The Pisrei Choshen, Chelek Aleph, Perek Beis, Siv Katan Aleph, thinks that the Minchas Chinuch is indeed agreeing with Rashi. That's a very important Pisrei Choshen, very worth seeing. That's the one where he discusses various sources for whether paying a debt is actually a mitzvah. He has a whole variety of sources there. But that's, you can support the idea, and Rashi certainly believes that hin tzedek means I have not only a duty that when I speak I should be sincere, but that afterwards I act in a way that will make my words continue to be true. However, that's not the simple read of the pasuk. The simple read, or not the pasuk, I should say. None of it is the simple read of the pasuk. But it's not the simple read of the drash. The simple read of the drash is what Abaye said. which is, when you say this, you must mean it. When you say yes, you must mean yes. When you say no, you must mean no. That's the simple read, and that's what the Rif seems to say. Hang on. Take a look at your test. Ve'elchsek Rabbi Yochanan. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, says the Rif. Which we know. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Matam Alomar Behin Sedek Valo Hin Bichlal Eifa the drasha the El Shehin Shachat Sedek Valav Shachat Sedek Upirsha Abaye Shlo Yedaber Achas Vepeve Achas Belev. He says we follow Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not a Hin Sedek violation, because he didn't mean to fulfill his words at the time. Rabbi Kiva Eger says this as well. In the Gilyan Ashas, on that Gemara in Ksuvos, when Rashi says, Hein Sedek, he puts down his little flag and he says, hey, wait a minute, look over above him at CMM test and see what Abaye had to say. That it's really only about being true at the time that you say the words, and it's not about an obligation to continue to maintain it. So the outgrowth of all of this is, you have the view that it's midas chasidus. It's a nice thing to do. Racham nochei menu, ein racham nochei menu. You have the view that it's a derabbanan, sheiris yisrael lo yasu avla, and the language of mutter, to back out in certain cases, indicates usur in other cases, so it's more than just midas chasidus. And then you have the view that wants to make it a del Raisa, as a Hein Sedek, it seems to me, and I think this is the way we hold, that it comes down to the Derabbanan, really, the Derabbanan level of Sheiris Yisrael of Yasu Avla, as opposed to the Del Raisa level of Hein Sedek. I think we follow the Rif on this point. Yes?
Okay, so it seems to me that this all depends on the way you read Abaye. Meaning, if you just read Abaye as an answer for Rav, then it would still follow that Rav Yochanan would think Hein Sedek means Shehei Hein Shalcha Sedek. For some reason, I didn't see the context, but Shimon Kubetzes thinks that once Abaye answers, he's saying that everybody agrees that Hein Sedek just means Echa B'Pedek.
That's the right of its view.
Right. What made him say that? I'm just like curious. Because I would have been, again, the question was not on Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was consistent with Hein Sedek. The question was on Abaye, who seemed to say, no, on Rav, rather, who said that Dvarim Im Hem Shem Char Sari Amara. And then Abaye answers no, because that doesn't mean that Hein Sedek, Shehein Chal Shal Sedek. It just means that you can't be yes,
right.
Yes.
No, I understand what you're saying. Okay. But that's, I mean, that's the way, certainly it's the way the Rif reads it.
Right.
And again, I think that's the way it's generally taken. I think it's because Abaye's statement is in a vacuum. He's being borrowed here to solve for Rav, but his statement is not made in this context.
Okay. And then just one more, just in terms of Rashi, because Rashi quotes both, right? Sheikh Yisrael, Yasu Avla, and he does this. So it would seem to me that Sheikh Yisrael, Yasu Avla is more relevant in that particular context, because there we're talking about relying on a Jew who says that they're going to give Elievi Meister.
Correct.
So the point is, you can rely on that, and then you, because Sheikh Yisrael, Yasu Avla, the Jewish people are never.
It's an observation.
That. Right. It's like, of course you can rely on that. Just quoting Hin Sedek is a mitzvah, but who says they're actually going to keep it? So we say, no, Sheikh Yisrael, Yasu Avla. It's like it's sort of used in different contexts.
I hear you. I wonder about its quality as an observation.
Now, in the Levi,
The Levi case is a funny case because he has an obligation to give this.
Yeah.
But his point is still you can give it to a different Levi. You didn't have to give it to this Levi. Well, you didn't change. You didn't give it yet.
But he
tells
the Levi, I give it to you.
Yeah. Well, he said, I'm going to give it to you.
He
hasn't, we're going to talk about that. Again, I don't know that we're going to get to, well, no, I know we're not going to get to this. But that's the last point I want to get to, is this question of, does the Kenyan actually happen? And when does the Kenyan happen? And that's where we're going, but slowly. Jerry. Actually, Ezra has a horrified look on his face. Wait, Ezra, for that look on your face, I have to...
And I was just going to point out that the Rif's read is really reinforced by the word of the Gemara that nobody has focused on that, but he says, Abu Shalei Daber, literally referring to that drasha.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
That the drasha is...
But how do you
right.
know that that's
but,
to...
But again, right, so Sammy's point is maybe that's only being given in the context of answering for Rav, and it doesn't affect Rabbi Yochanan. To which my answer is, I think his statement is in a vacuum. I don't think his statement is specific to our
subject.
That's
fair. I think...
Jerry.
We're bringing some bedukdak in the words. This is oisei maasei amcha.
Yes.
It means the actual doing, but not the speaking.
Okay. Right there. I hear you, but I don't want to. Okay. So the question that we started on at the end of last week, and now we've laid the groundwork for. So what does Taromas actually look like? We've seen that Taromas cases are Mechusar Amana. That's the way I understand what's going on. They're a subset of Mechusar Amana. So now I know then that whatever you're going to do for Mechusar Amana, you're going to do for Taromas. And therefore, really what we do to him in public is less a function even of the Taromas and more a function of the Mechusar Amana. So two Rishonim seem to go in different directions as far as what we do. Take a look, please, at Source Chaf. Bav Metzia Nun Beis. This is an Ona'ah case. The Ona'ah case, you sold somebody something and you sold him for way more than it was worth. He went home and instead of checking it with somebody, he waited. And eventually he came across somebody who could tell him, whoa, did you get cheated? And at that point, he comes back to the seller and says, you sold me this thing, that was Ona'ah. I want to reverse the sale, I want a refund of the Ona'ah. However we deal with that, we dealt with that 2 years ago in Shear. The fellow says back to him, I'm sorry, we have a statute of limitations. There's a length of time for you to back out of an Ona'ah deal, long enough to show it to the next expert, 12 months, whatever, depending on the case. So that's our Gemara. Ad masai mutar lachzir. How long are you able to go back to the guy and say, I want a refund? And the whole thing that I skipped there. The im haya, that word I added in brackets, he'oshem, makira. If the person who is guilty there, meaning the seller, right? If he recognizes it and says, oh yeah, that's what I sold him. That really is from me. After the statute of limitations. Even after 12 months, it's a good thing for him to do, to accept it back. So they say, wait, heicha, what's your case? I don't understand. If you're in the city, then it's until you get to a money changer. It's a coin case. And you can show it to the money changer and he'll tell you it's a valid coin or not. If it's in a town, you have until Friday. So Midas Chasidus Shanu Kan. Rav Chisda says, yeah, but what we're talking about here, the idea that you're going to say after 12 months, I'm going to take it back, is a trait of piety. Wait a minute. It says there, Ein lo alav ela taromes. He does not have a taromes. He doesn't have anything other than taromes. He only has taromes against him. So the Gemara says, okay, you have confounded us with your pronouns. Who only has a taromes against whom? And in what case? Laman. Ilo chassid, if what you mean is the chassid has taromes, all the words in brackets I added. If the chassid is the one who has taromes against the other guy, meaning the seller didn't have an obligation to take it back. But he said, you know what, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to take it back, and now I have taromes against you for bringing it back to me after the statute of limitations. So lo kabuli likbalamine, velo taromes avile. So don't take it back. What are you complaining for? Just don't take it back. It's going the other way. It's the other guy, the person who had bought it in the first place. I don't understand. If he took it back, what's your taromes? What's your problem? No, what we're saying is, ha'achir, the other guy who's not the chassid, all he has is taromes against the fellow who refused to take it back. If you refuse to take it back, but the statute of limitations passed, all you have is taromes. My point here is not about the whole Ona'ah discussion, or even the taromes point. My point here is, rather, when you said, don't take it back and don't have a taromes, we don't want to have taromes, is what it sounds like. Rashi explains in Chaf Aleph. If the chassid is the one who's going to have taromes against the person who gives him back the purchase or the coin, I don't understand. Who's forcing him to accept it back such that he should now have a taromes? Tovlo shelo yikablena, better not to receive the thing back. Mishi kablena v'yotzi diba chavera, as opposed to accepting it back and then being motzi diba on the other. And that's the key. In other words, taromes is not just you sit at home stewing because of what this guy did. You're going to go out and tell the world what he did. And Rashi says, just, you don't want to do that. Just don't take the money, don't take the purchase back and don't say anything. However, that goes, Mordechai seems to say no. Take a look at Source Chav Beis. Agaz Mordechai. Tshuva. L'rashi misivta. Reuven amar l'shimon is vinta l'doch ploni. Zavna b'ni uveinach. This is a classic case. Reuven says to Shimon, there's something I want to buy in such and such a place. Do me a favor. I know you're going there. Buy it and we'll split it. Azal Shimon Zavna. Shimon went and he bought it for himself. Amalei Reuven, bagli. Reuven says, let's split it. Amalei Shimon lo pligna. Shimon says, I'm not interested. Thank you very much. That was a great tip. If Reuven had actually given Shimon money and they actually had a kinyan, I'll be based in. Then you could take him to based in and say, you have to give me my part. But if Shimon never took money from him, it was just words. And now he backed out. The based in says to him, you're getting zapped because you broke a de'oraisa. Yes, this supports the view that it is a de'oraisa. D'chsiv, eifa tzedek v'hin tzedek, she'hen shalcha tzedek v'lav shalcha tzedek, demizbi l'kayumi l'meimrei. You were supposed to fulfill your word. Eifa tzedek, hin tzedek. Roxami is, for those who are on the audio and can't perceive it, is dancing a jig. Someone says it's a de'oraisa. But the point that I bring here for this is what I underlined, which is the Beis Din sits down with this fellow and says, you know, this is not good. This is not good. You're gonna have trouble because of this. But it's not a public declamation. It's based in informing him of what he's gonna get. There's a side note that I just wanted to know for you, which is that the Tash Beitz actually has a different approach altogether. In Chav Gimel, he says, "Ach amana yesh lo al Reuven taromes devarim lifnei hamakom baruch hu." You have taromes in front of Hashem. But I don't think that is to exclude the other options that we're talking about. I think his point is, really, you have two different issues here. You have Amana and you have Taromes. Your Taromes is before God, and your Mechaser Amana thing is what we're going to do in Beis Din, or you know, whatever else is going to play out. I don't think that the Tash Beitz is actually necessarily disagreeing. I just bring it for you because it's an interesting turn of phrase.
Can you learn the following up from Rashi? That's the coming live in the real world, so to speak, and not in an ivory tower? Because we have all the denim of Rechilas and Lashon Hara, but the reality is we want to prevent this guy from going out and speaking bad about the other guy.
Right, so what's the... You mean the fact that he's going to go do that? No. So the reason I say no is because of what's coming in Source 24. So thank you very much for the segue. The question you have to ask is, what is the justification or the reason for doing this in public? So the first justification is obvious, which is that's l'tawelas, right? People have to be warned. If you have a guy who makes commitments like this, and people, you know, on that basis make deals with him, thinking that his word is his bond, and it's not true, there's a tawelas issue. There is a benefit in informing the community. That's number one. Number two, the Nechve B'Kesef says that. Well, take a look. I brought it for you in Chavdalet. Misha Eino Omed B'Diburo. I'm sorry, Chav Dalet is the Knesset HaGedola. I didn't bring it on the sheet. I apologize. It's not on the sheet. I bolded it on my sheet as though I had, but I didn't. So I'm just going to tell it to you outside. The Nechve B'Kesef is, right, because it was not cut and pastable. It's a very bad PDF on Hebrew books. But what he says is that there is an Isser against public shaming. We've talked about this already a little bit earlier. Which is, V'nasiba amcha lo sa'or. You're not allowed to curse the nasiba amcha. However, that only applies if he's ose ma'ase amcha. If we say that in Mechusar Amon is eino ose ma'ase amcha, then he has no protection. All those rules that we have about how you speak about other people do not protect him, and therefore you can do this as reprisal. You back out on me, I'm going to tell the world. Not as a matter of protecting the world, but as a way of punishing him. And he has no protection because he was Eino Oseh Maaseh Amcha. That's the Nechve B'Kesef's point. There's going to be a third possibility that we're going to have to talk about next week, which is that there's actual financial fallout for Mechusar Amana and Taromes. So that's going to be something that'll have to fit into the spillover that I do in the beginning of next week's shiur. Because what we're going to see is there may actually be financial repercussions for this, which will require a public statement. But that will have to be, that'll have to be next week. So what we're saying is, what we're saying here at this point is that Taromes, according to Rashi, is a public thing, and it's going to be supported by what we're about to see. Hagas Mordechai seems to say you just warn him in Beis Din. If it's public, It may be for the benefit of the public. It may just be reaction to what he did. Or it may be because there is financial fallout that people need to know about. There is indeed evidence that this was done publicly. And here you get to what I quoted you last week from the Maharam. If you take a look at Knesset Gedola and Chav Dalet, he quotes the Maharam to say they actually call the person a Rasha in public. Mutter Lekroso Russia. And that doesn't mean when you're at home talking to your spouse. This means you actually can call him a Russia out in the street. Sorry? Well, you know, if it was your Aliyah, right? I'm in a Russia. So. Right.
Like, the question is normally you're like, speak Russian art about a Russia. So it's just, maybe he's not a Russia, the guy like that, but for this you can.
Right. So ostensibly, yes. Meaning, I mean, we're going to talk about next week why you would be able to label him a Russia. What's the basis for labeling him a Russia? How do you earn the title? Not you, but how do people earn the title? So what we'll do is we'll pause here. And what it means is, in the beginning of the shiur next week, I'll just finish up this. It'll take me probably about 10 minutes. And then after that, Sammy will continue. One topic that we're not going to get to, because otherwise it would really take us well into shiur next week, is the question of, is it Mechusar Amana if circumstances change? Meaning like the Rav Kahana case. Is that really Mechusar Amana if the price goes up or whatever it is and you would suffer a loss? But because I don't want us to get into a position where guys are going so far ahead in the Gemara and we're still talking about the Mishnah, I think that I can give people my Makomos on it. It's a fun topic and I have a lot of material. But I think that we'll hold back on doing it as part of Shir. Maybe it'll be a Thursday thing if I can figure out how to fit that into my schedule. I don't know. We'll see. Have a great Shabbos.